Just for a few moments, and I'm going to be reading out of the book of Job. I'll read a passage out of that. But before we go there, let's go to 2 Corinthians, and I'm just going to start off and don't really know where I'm going to end up. I've got two trains of thought on my mind this morning, and I don't know which train I'm going to end up getting on. So I think I'm going to start both of them and just try to go along. And just wherever we get to, that's what we'll do. But I want you to notice something about this thing. And we're going to be talking about, you know, we talked last week about Paul's ministry. And we don't follow the Apostle Paul's life and his activities that he done in his early ministry of the book of Acts. We follow the revelation that Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul, and that's the revelation, the doctrine, which is the faith. That's what we follow. And he wrote down these revelations and these mysteries. And he tells us to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. And a steward is a manager. He's the one that like the household manager. And the administration of that household, he follows the instruction of the owner of the house, the master of the house. And the steward of that house, like Ebenezer was to Abraham. Abraham was a type. He owned the house, he owned the property and everything, and Eliezer was a steward, and he looked after the things as Abraham commanded him. That's what we are. We're the stewards of the mysteries of God. Those mysteries was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and he wrote them down in 13 epistles, and that is what consists of the faith, of the one faith in Ephesians chapter 4. Now that's what we follow. When we talk about following Paul, we're talking about the doctrine, we're talking about the revelation that's in Romans through Philemon. And in those epistles, you'll find how you ought to live, how you ought to walk. You'll find your destiny. You'll find the doctrine that you're to live by, and on and on. Everything you need is in Romans through Philemon. People talk about the law. You study Romans through Philemon. You'll find that Paul covers every law of the Ten Commandments except one. And that one is the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Paul does not cover that. He does not even tell you. Matter of fact, he tells you not to worry about the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the point I'm trying to make is God gave the Apostle Paul revelation, and he said, I will come under visions and revelation. And so it's a progressive thing from the life when he got saved on the road to Damascus. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul begins to say, What do you want me to do? And the Lord begins to talk to him. You know what Paul realized first on the road to Damascus? The gospel of God. You know what the good news of God was? That he raised him from the dead. That he raised his son from the dead. And Paul realized the very one that he had been persecuting and the people he'd locked up and had them stoned for preaching the name of Jesus and talking about Jesus, that Jesus was the Lord, that Jesus was God's Son. And the Bible says, and he said that he went back and he preached that he was Christ, the Son of the living God, and he preached the gospel of God in his first message in Damascus. In fact, turn to Galatians before we go to 2 Corinthians and look in Galatians there. And you find this passage here in Galatians chapter 2. I'm sorry, chapter 1. And he said in Galatians chapter 1, he gives account of his ministry. And he said in verse 11, he said, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." So God revealed to him the gospel. He said, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia." That's after he preached in Acts 9. "I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only," now watch it, "that he which persecuted us in time past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. They glorified God in me." Well, what was that faith that he once destroyed? Well, turn back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul gets saved. He goes into the house and finally Ananias comes to him. He receives his sight, verse 19, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is" what? "The Son of God." How did he know that he was the Son of God? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." That is the gospel that we preach. That's the gospel whereby men believe and are saved with. And if you don't believe that gospel, there's no way you can be saved. Now, you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins personally, and that you accept Him personally as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll never be saved. Never. Now look what he said. The third day according to the Scripture. Verse 5. "And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." Did Paul seem? That's how he knew he was raised from the dead, wasn't he? That's how he knew he was the Son of God. He saw the Lord. And he began to preach that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that's the faith that he wants destroyed. That's the foundation of that Jerusalem church. That's how they would get into that church. Look back in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And you know what a church is? A church is one that's called out. It's in a called out assembly. If you have an assembly at school, if you call the students out and have an assemble and have an assembly of students that you've called out, you know what you got there? You got a church. People get messed up when they read in the book and talk about church. They say the church of God at Jerusalem. Oh, that's the body of Christ. No, it's not. It's the church of God. It's the called out ones of God. And they're in Christ. Paul said that they were in Christ before me. He said in John chapter 15, I am the vine and ye are the branches. Except ye abide in me, you can do nothing. So, you got to rightly divide this Bible, folks. You got to understand who he's talking to. Now look at this thing, Matthew 16. He said there in you'll find verse 15. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Well, the Father didn't reveal to Peter about Jesus Christ dying for his sins. What did the Father reveal to Peter? He had a revelation. Peter had a revelation from God that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And look what he said, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that revelation that God the Father revealed to the Apostle Paul, that's the rock. Not Peter. Peter ain't no rock. Peter's a man. And he gets into a lot of trouble. But it's the revelation. He said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Then it's obvious that that he's going to be is associated with the kingdom of heaven because the keys were given of that kingdom. You don't have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth is not bound in heaven. I have a hard time getting God to see a need that I think is a need. I mean, there are things that I begin, Lord, I'm like, Lord, will you do this? Can you see this, Lord? And begin to talk to the Lord about things that I think's real need in my life. And Lord, I need this. I need it. Lord, you listening? Nothing. I don't have a key to bind. Whatsoever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In fact, so we find that Paul, he began to preach. And he went and noticed some things. Now, we don't follow his life. So we don't preach that Jesus is just a Messiah, God's Son. That he is God's Son. We know. We preach the gospel. And that the gospel that was written includes the gospel of God. And you must believe that he is the Son of the living God. And he was born of a virgin, and that he died for your sins, and he was buried. God raised him the third day. And believe that, and thou shalt be saved. Reject it. You know why people go... Listen, everybody in this building right now, everybody that will hear this tape, everybody that in the world today is trusting in something. They're trusting in good works. You say, well, they're atheists. Atheists, they trust and they think that there is no God. They're trusting that there's no God. Now you talk about the Bible, no wonder the Bible said a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Well, if he's right, then we ain't got nothing to worry about anyway. But if he's wrong, he's going to wake up one day. And he is wrong. But look, you trust him. Let's look at some things about it. Turn back to the book of Acts again. I might not get to Job. I've done got on another train. I'll have to take Job's train another time. I want you to look at this in Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. People say, well, Paul does this, Paul did that. Why don't you follow Paul? Acts 13, verse 5. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. Look in verse 16. They stood up in the synagogue. Verse 15. After the reading of the law and the prophets of the rulers of the synagogue. Now, folks, you know what Paul's doing? He's going into the synagogue. When does he go into the synagogue? Well, let's turn over to looking. When does he meet on in that time period? Look in Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 13. And on the what? Y'all ain't got there yet. On the Sabbath, look in chapter 17, verse 1. Going in the synagogue. Now when they were passed through Pamphylus and Apollyon, they came in Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them. And three Sabbath days. When's Paul going to church? When is the Sabbath? How do you know? How do you know when that sixth day is, seventh day? Calendar. How do you know it's right? What if it's not right? What if really this is Tuesday? And we've been ever since the Julian calendar come up, we think it's Sunday, but it's really Tuesday. Turn with me to Colossians. Look in Colossians. We follow Paul's revelation, not his activity. Paul went in on the, he went to the synagogue. I don't even know where a synagogue is at. I've never been in the one. I don't know when the Sabbath is. According to our calendar, it's Saturday. Now, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you think that the mark of the beast is people worshiping on Sunday. Look in Colossians. Notice in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Notice he's talking about the head and everything. Verse 13, 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That's the law and those ordinances. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now tell me something. Does that sound like Paul wants you to worship on the Sabbath day? All those ordinances of the law, the Sabbath, the holy days, which are a shadow of things to come? You see back here, the Matthew here, the kingdom was being preached. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then you have Jesus Christ dying on the cross, their king. Matter of fact, they looked at that cross as the back here. You'll find Moses, he took a lamb. And that lamb was... They killed it, and they took the blood and put it on the doorpost. And when the Lord said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's Passover. That's where the Passover comes. God passed over them, and they didn't die. They looked at the blood back here. You'll find that over here, before he goes to the cross, in fact, hang on there and turn to Matthew and look in Matthew again. Matthew 26. Right before he goes to the cross. Notice in verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Now, he just come down from talking about the abomination of desolation in Matthew 24, and it's 2 days before he goes to the cross, and he said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to those, then the end shall come. And 2 days before, later, he's going to be crucified. Well, I know what gospel he's talking about in Matthew 24. He's talking about the gospel of the kingdom. All right? Now look at this thing in Matthew 26. In Matthew chapter 26, notice he goes in verse 28. For this, he's up there in the upper room, and he's taking the blood, the wine, drinking, having Passover. And he said, and let's go back and read verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take ye, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remission of sins. So they looked at the cross as a lamb. And Peter writes about it as the lamb. And there is the blood of the New Testament that he was going to make with the house of Israel. And he promised to make it. And it has to do with them having the kingdom. And he's putting in a new spirit in them. And they are walking according to his law. And no man's going to teach another man. They know the Lord, for all shall know. And folks, you know that ain't the way it is today. In fact, look at the covenant quickly over to Hebrews. And notice this thing about the covenant. People are talking about a New Testament church. Yeah, right. Hebrews chapter 10. man is full of it. I tell you what, go back to chapter 8. Let's just start there and we'll just come through there. This is what Hebrews is all about. Notice what he said, verse 8, Hebrews 8:8, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now, why? Because, verse 7, for if that the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Now, back here you have the Old Testament back here that they made. And they didn't keep it. They broke it. And they couldn't. And so God Almighty said he's going to make a new one. Verse 9, not according to the covenant which I made with our fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbors and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And in that he said, a new covenant, for he had made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxen old is ready to vanish away, and a new covenant is coming on. And that's Peter and them goes out. They're looking for that new covenant. And when do they get their sins taken away? He dies on the cross, and he's resurrected, and they're expecting him to come back and set up that kingdom over here, and that's the covenant when he would take their sins away. And that's what they're looking for. He saw, Peter says, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall see in Jesus, whom you've seen. And folks, they're looking, they get their sins blotted out, and they get their sins done away with when Jesus Christ, the high priest, comes from behind the veil and comes back the second time. That's when they get their sins, and spiritually, but not so with you. New revelation come along. And yet these people in here, they look to that cross as the lamb that shed the blood, their Passover, and they get life over here when he comes and they're resurrected. You see, they go down and come up at his second coming. They're looking forward. But not you. Why? You already have life. Your sins has already been took away. He nailed them to the cross, having forgiven you all trespasses. There is no Sabbath days, and the things that are a shadow of things, Paul says to Colossians, these are the things that's going to be over here. The law over here, there will be a Sabbath of over here. There will be the law over there. And they'll have the law of Matthew 5, 6, 7, the law of the kingdom on there. And they will serve God with a perfect heart. They will have the laws of God wrote down in their heart. And they will need to teach their neighbor, know the Lord. For all shall know him, from the least to the greatest. And Israel today is not the Israel of God. They don't know the Lord. They don't even believe Jesus Christ. A good man, maybe. They still believe, majority of them believe he was an imposter. That he was no good. That he was a false teacher. They don't know the Lord today. They won't until the church is took out of the way. And then God's going to take a rod And that rod's the Antichrist. And God's going to chastise them, so to speak. And they'll be saved out of it, not from it like you. In here is grace. Folks, when Paul's going in here, he's going on the Sabbath days, but he tells you, don't let no man judge you about keeping holy days. Every day is a day of grace. Paul, look in Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. Here's a good one. Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, of a son, the son of a certain woman which was Jewish and believed, but his father was Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were of Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Is Paul circumcised? Huh? Sure did. Why did he do that, Paul? Look in Galatians. In the book of Galatians. Here's another chant. Look in Galatians chapter 2 in verse 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation, communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. Now, if they're all preaching the same gospel, why would he have to communicate to the 12 the gospel he's preaching? They're not. He said, but probably to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because the false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us under bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now, there's an instance where Paul refused to have somebody circumcised. Now, why would Paul refuse for Titus to be circumcised and yet take Timothy and circumcise him? You don't follow Paul's life and his activity is when he's going to the Jews in the book of Acts. He did a lot of things that he told you in the revelation of the faith not to do. Look while you're there in Galatians. Look in chapter... We're going to deal with that in just a moment. But notice in chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God, which is that new nation, the Israel of God. About in Galatians chapter 6 is that new nation that was started out, formed here by Jesus Christ, and it's the 12, and they're called the little flock, and they go out and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision, and the promises to Israel, and Peter's preaching that Jesus is coming back, and he's looking for him to come back, and that's the Passover. When the care of. Paul circumcised, and yet he refused to be circumcised. Why did he do that? Turn to 1 Corinthians and look in 1 Corinthians First Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is the whole crux of the thing. We follow the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul that he wrote down for you in 13 epistles. You can't follow his life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he says in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Notice it's as a Jew. "That I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." You want to see an example of that? Turn the page down. Stick your finger there in 1 Corinthians. We're coming right back. Look with me and look in James chapter 21. In James chapter 21. In James chapter 21, Paul goes up to Jerusalem. Acts 21. He's meeting with James. I said James 21, didn't I? I was really testing you to see if you knew how many chapters was in the book of James. Oh, Lordy. In Acts 21, verse 18, "And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." See, that's that new nation in there. They're still under that law. "And they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews," and that's key there, "all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitudes must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Take them, purify thyself with them, be it charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they are informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. And as touching the Gentiles, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing." Now, Paul knows the keeping of the law can't justify anybody. In Acts chapter 13, hang on there, come back to Acts 13, and notice in Acts 13, verse 39. In Acts 13, 39. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now, folks, Paul goes, so what does he do? He goes in there, shaves his head as those who got a vow, purifies himself, and does in according to they tell him under the law. He's keeping the law. Why? Why does he do things like that? Back in 1 Corinthians. He said in 1 Corinthians, under the verse 20, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." He's trying to get them saved, folks. He don't care about their traditions. He knows you can't be justified by the law of Moses. He's preaching that. But he submits to their law in order that he can witness to them. Look what he said. "To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now watch it. Here's the key verse. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Look in chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. All things are lawful for me, but all things ain't necessary. They're not expedient. I don't have to do them. You understand? So I do this for the gospel's sake. There's some people that I want to win to the Lord. And so I submit to their ordinances and everything on this occasion. And there I do that to get the gospel. But here's some that we're not talking about getting saved, and they're trying to force me, which would bring me under their bondage. I'm not going to do that. That's why he did it. That's why he didn't. That's why he baptized some. That's why he didn't baptize. That's why he said, Christ, look back in chapter 1. And yet you'll find Paul in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. He did baptize a few. And you've got to remember that in this time period, he gets saved in Acts chapter 9. He starts out, he's preaching that Jesus Christ is Son of God, right? That's the gospel of God, that God raised him from the dead. That's the faith he was once destroying. But then he said, I'll come in the visions and revelation. And he goes in 3 years in Arabia. And I believe he's taught by the Lord in that Arabia. He's called up in Acts 14 unto paradise. Heard unspeakable words, which is unlawful for a man to write or speak. I believe he wrote them down in Ephesians and Colossians in there. And so he's called up in there in the third heaven up here. And I believe he writes down the words it's unlawful for a man to speak. And it's unlawful for the Jews. That's what he's talking about. Unlawful. If it was unlawful for him, why would he even need to hear it? If it was unlawful for him to write it down, I believe he wrote them down. I believe you have the complete revelation in Romans through Philemon. Now one other thing, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse there, he said, notice what he said in verse 13. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. Boy, that's something to say. What if we believed in baptism like they did, and I come up here and I said, I thank God I baptized none of you but just Danny and Bobby. How would the rest of you feel? He said, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. Good gracious. He didn't have Alzheimer's. There wasn't no dementia with Paul. It wasn't that he just forgot. He said, I know not whether I baptize any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul baptized a few in his early part. Why did he do that? Because he was going all things to all men. He was going under that program. And so he didn't have the complete revelations yet. But I believe in Acts 18 he got it. He's in a trouble and he's in a trance. I believe Christ straightened him out. And I believe that's why he said, I thank God I baptized none of you but them. Although Christ sent me not to baptize. I baptized a few, and I'm glad I didn't baptize no more than I did. It's just almost like he said, I didn't know no better. Well, that was me. I baptized my few through ignorance.
and I don't baptize anymore.
Say, well, you wouldn't baptize me? I would not baptize you. First of all, I'm not getting wet no more. I go swimming, I'm going to not be in my suit of clothes. I guarantee you that. Now, I'm not talking, I'm going to have a, anyway.